Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. Last week, the Department of Labor in New York shut down a Queens factory, which employed primarily Chinese immigrants and had been operating under sweatshop conditions. The factory, currently called Jin Shun, frequently changed its name. It kept a couple set of punch cards. It even provided workers with a script of replies to memorize for when investigators came knocking. All told, the factory cheated its workforce out of over $3 million, or perhaps upwards of $5 million in minimum and overtime wages since 2005. New York Labor Commissioner Patricia Smith is here to tell us more. Tricia, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. What exactly is this factory being charged with?
It's being charged currently with violations of the labor law. It violated minimum wage and overtime. Because of the really outrageous way in which the company went about trying to conceal its violations by having two sets of time cards and by coaching its workers to lie to the Labor Department, we are sitting down with the Queens District Attorney's Office, and we are reviewing possible criminal charges also.
How sophisticated was the operation? Some of the things I just talked about, the couple set of punch cards, memorized lied responses. Have you seen that sort of thing before?
The couple set of punch cards we have seen before. It's sometimes difficult to detect that because if you just go between 9 and 5, you look at the punch cards, they look fine. You look at the workers, they look fine. The way that we determined that these punch cards were false is that we started to go on nights and weekends. And what we saw on nights and weekends were individuals who were not punched in. So we knew. The other thing that we did in this case, as they get more sophisticated, we need to get more sophisticated. The other thing that we did in this case is that we subpoenaed the production records of the manufacturer, and we compared the production records with the time cards and determined that if they had actually produced that amount of garments in that time, they would have had to produce a garment a minute, which is impossible.
Setting some sort of productivity records that would be impossible.
Right. So we knew that the time cards had to be false. I personally have never seen after many years of doing this, the sophistication in actually having a cheat sheet, which is what this company did. They typed out in Chinese, because these were mainly Chinese immigrants, possible questions that Labor Department investigators would ask and the answers that they were to give. And in fact, when the Labor Department did come in, and we do go in on a regular basis and ask questions, when the employees lied, they paid them a bonus of $100. Now that is pretty sophisticated.
And so, as we said, they made clothes for brand name stores like Macy's, Banana Republic, and The Gap. What are those companies doing in response to what they found out?
Well, they're sitting down and talking to us. You know, they've said that they're not going to use this factory again. But, you know, what we really would like them to do is to monitor the factories in a more specific way. Many of these companies do have codes of conduct, and the codes of conduct say that the contractor is to, you know, be in compliance with all minimum wage laws. And they often go in and they monitor the factories also. But if they went in like we had been going in the last few years, Monday through Friday, they would have seen the same thing that we saw, which is everything on the books looked fine. So what we're going to be asking them to do is to work with us to work harder at monitoring the companies that they do business with.
I think we need to clarify. I have heard that Macy's has been cleared, but some of the other ones, Banana Republic and The Gap, which are, you know, the same company, just different brand names of the same brand, they did use clothes from those factories.
Macy's actually may or may not be cleared. Let me try to explain that. The other thing that we did last week is we went in and we tagged garments at two factories. Tagging means we actually have tags that said these garments were made illegally, and the tags can only be taken off by the Labor Department when the underpayments that represent those garments are paid. we tagged some garments of Macy's. Macy's says that they're counterfeit. We're looking into that. If indeed those are counterfeit garments, Macy's did not order them, they'll be cleared. But we have reason to believe that in the past, anyway, Macy's has used these factories. Our investigation goes back 6 years. So as we go forward, you know, we will investigate that. But if Macy's did not use that factory, if indeed they're just counterfeit, they will not be responsible.
Wait, explain that a little more. You tag it. It says these were made illegally. Is that, and then you what? Keep those garments in a holding pen? What?
Well, they can be shipped, okay, but realistically they're not, because no manufacturer, no retailer wants to have garments in their store that says this garment was made illegally.
Unless it becomes
so
like some
happens,
cool brand or something.
Right. So what happens is once we tag it, it's usually the retailer or the manufacturer will come forward and pay the amount of the underpayments. For example, we tagged garments last week that had Express and Grace Elements labels, and the manufacturer came forward within 2 hours and paid us $60,000, which were the amount of underpayments we attributed to the manufacturer of those garments.
So it's a shaming program is what it is.
Basically, yeah. It's a very effective one, by the way.
It would seem. How'd you break the case?
Well, we had been going nights and weekends. We had done the analysis, so we knew that there were violations.
Wait, when you say, I have to interrupt, when you say you've been going as inspectors or undercover?
No, as inspectors.
Okay.
Okay, as inspectors. But contractors don't expect the state to be coming nights and weekends, and so we were finding violations that we otherwise wouldn't find. But really, we broke this case in the end by two brave workers coming forward. I mean, it's very difficult to break a case like this without worker cooperation. Two workers came forward. They told us exactly how the two sets of time cards work. They told us how many hours they were really working. Based on that information, we could actually do our audit and estimate how much the factory actually owed.
And you want to be a little more specific about that? How many hours? Hours were they working?
Oh, yes. I will tell you. Mm-hmm. What happened was these workers were working 12-hour days. Most of the year, they were working 6 days a week. That's 72 hours. Part of the year, they were working 7 days a week. They were making $250 a week. They should have been making an additional $375 on top of that $250. That's the underpayment per week.
That's like turns out to be less than $4 an hour, I think, if I do the math right in my head.
Right. So they were making less than half of what they were entitled to.
These workers, were they shipped in from China with the express notion that they'd be working at this factory, or are they, for the most part, illegal immigrants who were just looking for a job and heard in the community, hey, here's a place for a job?
Well, the immigrants that we talked about were not shipped. We talked to were not shipped in. They were immigrants in the community who, by word of mouth, found a job there. Are they legal or illegal? I don't know. We don't ask their status, and so I don't know what their status is.
What happens to the workers once a factory is fined or shut down?
Unfortunately, the workers have to go look for jobs elsewhere, and we have to go and try to collect the money that is owed to those workers, which can be difficult in the garment industry because these garment factories are not very well financed, frankly. That's why we're looking to the manufacturer or the retailer for the underpayments.
People are asking in comments and so forth, well, what can I do? You know, I'm concerned about the story. I read it in the newspaper. I'm outraged. And then there's another aspect, which is, and I'm probably going to go into a place and buy a garment. How do I connect the two things? You know, what can I do as a consumer to follow the best practices to not allow this sort of thing to go on?
Well, I think one of the things that you need to do is if you have a particular label or store that you are, you know, you like, that you need to voice your opinion, that you want them to make sure that they, A, have a code of conduct, and B, that they enforce their code of conduct. That's what the consumer can do, because if the consumer decides that they don't want to buy goods that were illegally made, they need to voice that to retailers, because retailers will listen to their customers.
New York Labor Commissioner M. Patricia Smith. What does the M stand for?
Mary.
Okay. I couldn't find that anywhere. Is it a secret?
Thank you.
Semi. Thank you very
not
much.
Not anymore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.